You're listening to West Marin Community Radio, KWMR. 90.5 Point Reyes Station, 89.9 Bolinas, and 92.3 San Geronimo Valley.
Epicenter on KWMR West Marin Community Radio. You can hear Epicenter at 5 p.m. on KWMR or listen to recent archives at kwmr.org. Today, I'm your host, Amanda Eichstead, and my guest is Jason Fried, Executive Officer from the Local Agency Formation Commission for Marin County. Jason, welcome to the KWMR airwaves via Zoom.
Well, thank you very much.
Thanks for
good to be here.
Yeah, thanks for joining me today. We got your notification about the Local Agency Formation Commission, also known as LAFCO. And I thought what would be interesting is for our listeners here in West Marin to learn more about the Local Agency Formation Commission, of which you are the executive officer. Jason, can you tell us what LAFCO is?
Yeah, sure. LAFCO is a state-authorized commission that works at the county level. Every county in the state of California has one of us.
And how was it formed?
Yeah, it was formed back in 1963. Prior to LAFCO's formation, anything that was dealt with, like creating new cities, new special districts, all that stuff went through the state legislative process. And with all the changes that were occurring in California back in the 40s and 50s, it just became in some ways too overwhelming for the state legislature to deal with. So they created our organizations to help offset those things and give local communities a little bit more say in what goes on with the formation of new local governments.
So you're saying that before 1963, say, let's just pretend that the town of Marshall has decided to incorporate. That would have been something that would have had to go before the state legislature, and now it goes through a LAFCO process prior to anything else. Or is LAFCO the final say?
Yes to both of those. It would have gone through Sacramento back in the day, and now we are the ones that get to make that say in the process. I mean, when you say final say, we're the final governing body that makes the decision. There's still, you know, plenty of government paperwork that needs to occur after this decision is made, as well as if the general public, if let's just say this hypothetical community of Marshall decided we really didn't want to have a city created here, there's a way for them to actually protest the process and stop the incorporation from occurring.
Has that happened a lot?
The protest?
Yeah,
part?
Yeah. I'm just curious.
Generally not, because if you're going through that process and you get to the protest, normally someone will have wised up and realized, hey, we're going to put a lot of work into this effort and the community doesn't want it, so let's stop the process now before we get to the final approvals.
Got it. Okay, that makes good sense. So LAFCO was formed at the state level by an act of governance of some kind.
Yeah, by the state legislature, they created something that's now referred to, it's been, you know, modified multiple times. Now it's called the Cortese-Knox-Hertzberg Act, Local Government Act of 2000 is the latest version of it. There was a slightly shorter name for it back in 1963 when they made it, but over years they've amended it, and each time they amend it, they seem to add the new author's name to the Local Government Act.
Well, when you say that it's been amended, have there been any big significant changes since 1963 with the amendments?
1963 was mainly about boundary issues for local jurisdictions. And when I say that, I should also point out that we don't do every single local jurisdiction. Like, school districts are not part of LAFCO. Transportation districts are not part of LAFCO. Those were excluded. But nowadays, we also do these other things called municipal service reviews, where it's our job to make sure any agency that we have responsibility over, that they're following government codes correctly. We're not the police and can't enforce things, but we issue reports on a regular basis about all of our agencies and look to see, like, are they following the Brown Act correctly? Are they you know, when they're holding meetings, are they doing them under all the correct meeting regulations? And are they doing everything correctly? How are their budgets? Are they going to go bankrupt in a few years? Or are they, do they have healthy reserves? Like, we look at a bunch of various avenues and aspects, which is all dictated to us by state government code.
Sounds a lot like you're auditing them.
We are not formally auditing them in the traditional way that most people look at an audit from a like financial standpoint. But in some ways, we are looking to make sure that they are doing things correctly, which could be reviewed as an audit light, but not a traditional like financial audit. That's they have to do those through other sources.
Yeah, they have to do those themselves. Yeah. So let me ask you this, Jason, because from looking at the website for the Local Agency Formation Commission, it doesn't seem like you have a big team. It seems like there's pretty much, what, three or four people max? Like, how do you get all of this work done?
That is a good question. We work very hard here. And there's a lot of work that goes on, but, you know, we also have, you know, good, you know, we have a person who focuses mainly on the municipal service reviews, and that's what he spends a lot of his time on. And then the applications, luckily in Marin County, we don't have a lot of massive growth issues from a, like, you know, like they do, like down in San Jose, they're constantly looking to gobble up areas of unincorporated land around them to develop the city even more. We don't get a lot of those types of applications here, so there's not as much work for us. So that's why you see, like, some LAFCOs, you'll see that they have, like, you know, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 staff people based on the needs of that particular county. For us, we don't have as much growth going on, so we don't have as much need for the for a large staff.
That makes good sense, because there's so much protected land and in, yep, in Marin County that there's not a lot of places for that to happen. So what districts and sort of service areas currently exist in West Marin that our listeners should be aware of that LAFCO oversees?
Okay, so for LAFCO, there's about a dozen of them that exist in the general West Marin area. You have like Stinson Beach Fire Protection District, Tamales Village Community Service District. You have the Bolinas Fire Protection District, the Inverness Public Utility District, the Bolinas Community Public Utility District, the Muir Beach Community Service District, Stinson Beach Water District, and then the Marin County Resource Conservation District. And then beyond that, you also have, like, we look at the flood district, which has two flood zones, which is zone 5 and 10. And then there's something called the county service area, which are parts of the county government. Traditionally, we don't look at the county government itself, but when they have special offshoots, which are referred to as CSAs, the county service areas, we do take looks at those two, and that's there's CSA 28 and 33, which is West Marin. One is disconsidered general West Marin. The other is Stinson Beach. And we actually last year completed a municipal service review for all of those agencies that I just listed to you. And then in addition, the West Marin area also has CSA 31, which is general fire services for the areas that aren't covered by a smaller fire agency. And then we also cover like North Marin Water, Marin Municipal Water, and then the Marin County Parks and Open Space District also fall under our jurisdiction.
Wow, that's a lot of special districts and agencies that LAFCO has a hand in monitoring. That's amazing.
That's just a small portion. I could go through all the other agencies. In total, we have about over 60 agencies that we oversee.
So who would submit a proposal to LAFCO? What would trigger that? Like you said, there's not a lot of growth, but if somebody wanted to make a change to an existing district, would that be then an application to LAFCO?
Yeah. What I call our bread and butter applications a lot of times are, if you're in a sewer district, but you've been on a septic tank or it's an undeveloped parcel, if you look at the map of all of several of your sewer districts, they're like Swiss cheese. If you're not currently getting service, you're not considered part of the district, and rightfully so. You're not getting service, so you shouldn't be part of the district. But as soon as you need to switch off of that septic tank, or you're developing something new on a parcel that didn't have anything on it before, and you're close enough to a sewer line, the county wants you to connect to that sewer line rather than getting a new septic tank, or, you know, in your redevelopment of the system. And so a lot of our applications are simply just, you know, people who are getting off a septic and moving on to the local sewer system because their septic tank is failing or going to be failing in the near future. So that's like most of what our applications tend to deal with is closing some of those, that Swiss cheese of a map, and closing off those parcels. But we also deal with larger issues. Last December, just, you know, now I guess a couple of months ago, We had a consolidation of where Mill Valley is handing over its fire services to Southern Marin Fire. And so that was a multi-year application process for us, where we were working with Mill Valley, Southern Marin Fire, making sure that our job is to make, we're kind of like the, I call it the neutral arbitrator in a situation. We want to make sure that both the residents of Mill Valley are taken care of, that the residents of Southern Marin Fire are taken care of, and that nothing that occurs is going to have a negative impact for either group. And so that takes a couple of years of having to deal with, you're having two different fire agencies consolidate their fire services. And that just, it takes a lot of energy and work behind the scenes to make sure all of the math works out, all the numbers are correct. And even dealing with things like, Mill Valley is in one pension system and Southern Marin Fire is in a different pension system. So we had to figure out how to get all the people into one system, move everyone from the one system into the other. And so there's just a lot of that type of background stuff that goes into like 2 years worth of work that got completed, last December.
Well, let me ask you this, and I want to let folks know, if you're just tuning in, you're listening to Epicenter on KWMR. I'm Amanda Eichstead, and I'm in conversation today with Jason Fried, who's the executive officer of the Marin Local Agency Formation Commission, also known as LAFCO. Jason, what kind of background do you have that you bring to this? It sounds like, there's a lot of detail, a lot of like this pension merger. There's a lot of stuff that needs to be taken into consideration. And it seems like, if these two agencies were going to do this, they would have to do their due diligence and their homework. And it sounds like LAFCO is kind of this extra layer to make sure that that is really solid and is really going to protect the people of both of those communities. But what type of background do you have that you bring to this job as executive officer?
Yeah, sure. I come from a slightly different background than most of the other executive officers within the LAFCO world. A lot of them come from a planning background. I come more from a good government community advocacy background. Prior to being here, I've worked at both the White House in the Clinton administration. I've worked for community groups for advocacy out in the California desert on some issues. Directly prior to coming to Marin LAFCO, I actually worked in San Francisco for its LAFCO as its executive officer. And there, a large part of what I worked for was creating their version of Marin Clean Energy, which is called Clean Power SF. So it's San Francisco is a much different creature than Marin County is when it comes to its LAFCO. And so I worked on a lot of special study side things for them there. So it's more, a lot of my background is more on good government and making sure that things are efficient and effective, which is most of what this LAFCO does. We do very little of the boundary changes. We do a lot more of, are all the agencies working correctly, and are there ways to consolidate services in a way that is beneficial for the general public as well as for the agencies that serve them?
So it sounds like there's a fair number of reports and studies that LAFCO does. Who commissions those studies? Do you do that yourself, or is it generated from a different entity?
It depends on the study that we're doing. The municipal service reviews, when I first started in 2018, we brought in an outside consultant to help us start that process off. But we did bring on a staff person, Jaron, who does most of the research and writing on those reports. So while we started off with our initial reports being done by outside consultants, we now do all of our municipal service reviews in-house with someone who, lives in Marin County, understands Marin County, and how it functions. So that's a positive there. For other reports, it really depends on the size and scope and depth of knowledge that you need. For the Southern Marin Fire Mill Valley stuff, there was a consultant who deals specifically on fire-related reports that was brought in to do that report and helped do that stuff. And there were some sub folks that were done there to like help deal with the pension issue and other things that are experts in those fields. So it's a combination of the two. We really look to see, do we have the expertise in-house to do it? If we do, we will do it in-house first. But if it's a big report that needs a very specialized person, we tend to find outside consultants to help us do that work.
Can you talk about sort of just like the outline of a municipal services review, sort of like what is sort of the main buckets that someone would see if they're reading through one of those?
Yeah, sure. The main buckets is the round that we're doing right now is a much more in-depth round than you would normally traditionally do with a municipal service review. So in the current round that we're doing, and we're doing it for every single agency that we oversee over the next, over a course of about 6 years, we'll have completed all the agencies in Marin County, is a process of first looking at like the history of the agency, what does it do? We then look at how is the agency currently functioning? As I said, we have a checklist of things that we need to look at. Are they following the Brown Act? Are they, you know, properly posting all their meeting minutes? Do they have on their website all the various things that the state says that an agency is supposed to have? So we will, Jaron, who's the main researcher on this, will go in and we'll actually look at and pretend like I am Joe Public. Before we even go and talk to the local agency, we start scouring their website. Do you have everything on there that we need to do our report? Because in theory, most of the stuff that we need for our reports should be on their website. So we do that first scan through of their website, see if what we can find, and then we go and talk with them and say, hey, here's some of the stuff that we're missing. And some of the more specialized districts, like your sewer districts or water districts, some of the information we need to get does not need to be on their website. So we will go to them and send them a questionnaire and say, hey, here's the stuff we know we're not going to get from your website. Can you send us the information that we need? And then we look through all that information and write up a report. You know, one of the things that we look at is like, does an agency have a capital improvement program? Are they looking long-term as like, hey, we own a building or we own vehicles, and how often do we need to replace them? And are we setting aside the funds now to replace that? Or do we just rely on every, you know, 10 years, we're going to go out to a bond to buy new equipment because that's just how long our equipment needs to be replaced. And so we're looking at, do they have these plans and are they thinking long-term in their approach?
Now, as I understand it, you're not sort of an enforcement agency. So if you do one of these reports and you find some things that are kind of not up to par or potentially alarming, what are the next steps for any kind of oversight for making corrections within a jurisdiction?
It partly depends on how big of an issue it is. If it's a big enough issue and there's like major violations of state law, we would, you know, report it to the appropriate authorities. In Marin County, we've never had to do that, or at least since I've been here, we've never had to do that. So that type of stuff doesn't exist. If it's smaller things, you know, most of the agencies in Marin County, when we talk with them, if we point, hey, you're missing this or that from your website, or, you know, we couldn't find this, they're willing to go and fix it. So a lot of times you'll see our report, sometimes we'll say, oh, we may comment like something is missing and therefore, but they've already gone and fixed that issue for them. So in Marin County, there's not as much of a, you know, stick approach to things. It's more like, here's what's wrong. Here's what's going on. Can you go and fix it? And then sometimes they're like, oh yeah, we didn't realize we had forgotten to update this webpage with the latest budget or whatever it is. And they will go and fix those issues pretty quickly when it's pointed out.
So that's basically just another form of check and balances put in place by the state to just kind of keep things on an even keel.
Correct.
All right. Can you, Jason Fried, tell us why boundary changes are potentially an important thing and how LAFCO gets involved?
Yeah. So there's two types of boundary changes. There's the one type I mentioned earlier where, you know, you're not in the sewer system because you haven't been using their system and we make a simple change to the boundaries. There's the larger ones, which are, you know, similar to the one I mentioned earlier with Southern Marin Fire and Mill Valley, where we're taking entire areas and moving jurisdictions around in order for someone to provide the service. No agency is supposed to provide service outside of their service territory. There are some exceptions to the rules, something called an out-of-service agreement, like North Marin Water actually services a few customers that are outside of its jurisdiction, but we do that because those parcels are so far outside of the district, it makes no sense to like create a little island out in the middle of nowhere where they service when it's like one parcel and there's nothing else around it that they service. So we give them the ability parcel to have one, but no. But for the most part, if you're not in the service territory of the agency, they should not be providing services to you. And so we go about looking to make sure that everyone is servicing their customers correctly. That's part of what the municipal service reviews do, or MSRs for short. We like to try and take those things and make sure you're servicing your area correctly. Because if it's not fair to the people who are in the area, if the people outside the area aren't paying in for the service, the people who are paying for the service should be paying for someone else to get that service outside their area.
Right. Everybody who receives the service should be paying in to receive the service within the boundaries.
Yes.
Got it. So I understand that there are positions open on LAFCO for a public member. And can you describe what body this is and who sits on it currently and how many public members there are?
Sure. So LAFCO in and of itself in Marin County is made up of 11 members. Seven of them we refer to as regular seats and four of them are alternates. So who makes up it's broken into four categories. There are two county supervisors who serve on it with one alternate. There are two members who serve on it from the cities and towns and one alternate. And then there are two people who serve from the special districts with one alternate, and then which makes up 9 of the 11 seats. The last two seats are what are referred to as the public seats. One of them is the regular voting member. The other one is an alternate who only, you know, who can participate. Our alternates participate in our meetings as equals to the regulars, other than they can't vote or make motions, because that has to be a regular seat member who does that. But if the regular seat is missing from a meeting, the alternate steps up into that role. So with the public seat, we happen to, they serve 4-year terms. It happens to be that this year, those terms are expiring. The all terms on LAFCO technically expire the first Monday in May. So we're in the process right now of letting folks know that the two seats that we have that are the public members are open and anyone can currently apply for them. We will be doing interviews at our April meeting where folks will get to come and talk to the commission. The non-public seat members are the ones that appoint the person who serves on LAFCO for the public seat.
And the alternate, I would imagine.
Yeah, both public seats are appointed by, and they're, the purpose of the public seat is meant to be, back in the day before when LAFCOs first started, special districts were actually not on LAFCOs at all. Later, one of the revisions of LAFCO allowed counties to, if the special districts wanted to serve on it. But the public seat is kind of the tiebreaker, because if you have half your group voting one way, half the group voting the other way, your public seat is kind of the tiebreaker of the group. And it's supposed to be the neutral person. So that way, if there's fights between the different groups, they're the person who sits in the wait, what's in the best interest of the general public as a whole?
Got it. And how often does this body meet?
We, in Marin County, our current schedule is we meet normally the second Thursday of even numbered months, although in April, due to some conflicts of commissioner schedules, we're meeting the first week. But generally, we meet 6 times a year. Sometimes there is a workshop or some special meeting that we do during the year. And then there's also some committees that meet, you know, once or twice during the year as well. But in general, if you're a public seat member, you're committing to, you know, 6 meetings a year plus potentially one workshop. And then perhaps you have 1 or 2 meetings on a committee based on who gets appointed to which committees.
So how do the other agencies from the special districts get appointed to this body?
Yeah, so, well, the county, just as part of their regular reorganization every year, just appoints who they want of their 5 members into the various seats. The cities and special districts have something that's referred to as either a special district selection committee or a city selection committee. And there's rules in the state of how to do that. In Marin County, in reality, there's actually a group called the Marin MCCMC, which is made up of all the cities. And they kind of run that process on behalf of the city selection committee. So what occurs is they will put out a notice saying, hey, there's either a seat open or, you know, if the term is expiring, this term is expiring, who is interested? And then the cities themselves, it's actually technically the city mayors, do the selection of who gets appointed to the city seats. The special districts have something similar in nature where the 30 special district chairs or presidents tend to get together and vote. In reality, you never get all of them in the thing, so they actually do a paper ballot system for the special districts. But that's how those two groups do their elections to their seats.
Would there be anything that would disqualify somebody from being a public member of the LAFCO board?
Yes, there are 2 things that have to occur for you to be able to be eligible to apply. One is you have to be a resident of Marin County, and by resident I mean it's your main residency. So if you own 2 homes, the Marin County home has to be your main residency. The other thing is the one limitation to someone applying is you cannot be an elected official or a staff member of any agency that we oversee. So like if you work for the County of Marin, or you work for, you know, out in your area, if you happen to be an employee of one of the Stinson Beach Fire Protection District, you're a firefighter out there, you would not be eligible to apply for LAFCO, because it's supposed to be a completely neutral person. And the view is if you work for one of these agencies or are elected to them, you're not as neutral as you're supposed to be for the seat.
Got it. Great. And what's the deadline for anybody to apply, and how can they get the information?
So the information is listed on our website, which is marinlafco, which is LAFCO.org. And the public seat application process is open until March 10th. And then we will put all that together and put it in a packet. And then those folks need to be at our April 6th meeting, which will be our first in-person meeting in several years.
And where do you meet?
Excellent question. If you ask me tomorrow, I can answer that question. We have our last Zoom meeting tonight. And part of that discussion is, where do we want to meet when we get back? We have traditionally met at Marin Clean Energy's office in San Rafael. That room is a little tight. It worked well pre-COVID.
Right.
Post-COVID, we might be having a discussion about moving to another location. That there's the Marin Wildfire Authority has a larger meeting room that will better fit us to give us a little more space and comfort between commissioners. So we're going to be having that discussion tonight to verify where we want to meet.
Great. Well, this has been a whole lot of really good information that I hope is somewhat new to our listeners and gives them a sense of how this additional agency works in Marin County. And I want to thank you, Jason Fried, for taking the time out today. Jason is the executive officer of LAFCO, and you can get more information at that website, which again, Jason, is
marinlafco.org, and that's LAFCO.
All right. Super. Thank you so much for taking the time out to talk with us today.
My pleasure.
All right. Take care.
You too. Bye-bye. Bye-bye.
Epicenter is a series of West Marin news and information. If you have ideas for topics, email programming@kwmr.org. You can stream the audio archives of Epicenter shows on our homepage, kwmr.org. Thanks so much for listening.